Hey kids, Dean with Crypto the Wonder Dog. Today's show, we have Jeff Hood on from Vantage Token, and had a cool talk with him. Unfortunately, he was on vacation, or fortunately, whatever you want to put it. Fortunately, he was on vacation with his kids, and unfortunately, I had to take him away from his kids for a few minutes. Sorry about that, guys. Didn't mean to. I understand that hanging out with your dad is a lot of fun, and you need to have that time with your dad. And seems like a super cool guy. I wish I had a dad like that growing up. That would have been great. But he is a busy man, and he was kind enough to share his valuable time with us, because it is tough when you're on vacation. You gotta spread yourself a little bit. And he was gracious enough to go through the Vantage Token, what got him inspired, which is, I think, was a great story. And look towards this to help out with a lot of needs that are being overlooked in the charity world. We've talked with a few companies and kind of had something that would at one point or another help out the charity world, but I think that Vantage Token is something that's completely different. And so you go to vantage.network. Let's see if this is still working here. Dang it, no, it's not. Let's see. Hold on, guys, don't go anywhere. Vantage. Where'd it all go? It's awesome not having a producer in here. There we go. Look at that. Beautiful. Okay, Vantage Token. They're about 35 days away from their public token show. Their public token sale. Jeff is all over here, and they have a great team. And there's our buddy. There's our buddy right there, David Drake. Super cool guy. We said that he should be the ambassador towards the decentralized network and the token cryptocurrency world. He's also another guy that spreads himself thin as jam on a budget. Listen to the show today. Good. It was a little shorter than what we're normally do. But these days, man, there's so much stuff going on. We are working furiously to get this the North American Sports and Blockchain Conference going. And I just had a nice long talk with a lady, Kate, from ICO Max, which is a company that I believe I'm going to be doing some work with on some media consulting. Be my first gig in the world as a consultant in the blockchain world. And it's funny that with my limited time in here, that people are looking to me for answers on certain things in the blockchain world, which is, it's fascinating, and it's crazy at the same moment. So I'm learning as much as I can. There's a lot of things that I don't know about it, but there's a lot of things that I'm getting that I understand. And with the help of a lot of people that I've been talking to, it's starting to wipe away the smudge from the glass, and seeing through that and see what the heck's going on out there. And I think that this is a world that is obviously changing, and that needs these types of technologies and companies to come along drain the swamp. get some of the stuff out of here. Some of these, like we just talked about, some of these companies that just sprouted up to just to make a quick buck, and nature just takes care of them. Nature will just take care of themselves. It'll have a natural evolution, and the cream will rise to the top, and the scum and everything else is just going to fall to the bottom. So we're here in the new studio, and I feel Mark Maron's pain whenever you move somewhere new, and you're having to deal with carpentry and people working, and he was dealing with people outside of the the house, and they were doing stuff, and I'm having a guy that's kind of doing some stuff in the kitchen, which is just outside the door there, and it's wonderful to be here in Southern California. I know that a lot of people get to enjoy this, and I'm fortunate enough to do it. But anyway, enough about my crap. Here we go. This is episode, I believe, 73-ish, somewhere in that area. I don't keep track of this stuff. Our buddy Jeff Hood and Vantage Token, Vantage.network. Here we go. You guys ready to start the show? All right, let's start the show. Buddy Charlie, I have him on the show all the time. He's not here today. Just a natural habit. Okay, because I have his name up here for you. I have Charlie. Okay, Jeff, how the hell are you?
Good.
Where are you calling me from today?
I'm actually in Florida today, Port St. Joe.
Yeah.
I brought my kids down for a vacation.
Yeah.
So, summer break.
Oh man, what? How old are they?
I have a 15-year-old son, a 17-year-old daughter, and then I have a daughter in college who's 19.
So wow.
I've just been down here fishing.
Yeah?
In the sunshine.
Are they all with you today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all with us. They're at the beach now because Dad has to work.
Okay. Dad has to do this silly podcast today.
Yeah, Dad has to work.
So oh, man. So, well, tell me. I know that our buddies connected us, and you have... You are Mr. Vantage.network or Vantage Network, right?
Yeah, so the company that I started is Vantage Network, and we're in the middle of an ICO right now.
Okay.
Our public sale starts August 1st, so I don't know how familiar you are with our project, but it's kind of interesting you asked about my kids because they kind of inspired the project.
Really?
So, yeah, about a year and a half ago, it might have been 2 years ago, there was a big hurricane that hit the coast of Texas, Hurricane Harvey.
Okay.
And I'm originally from Texas, so my son and I were on Facebook. I've been in software development for 18 years. So that's, my background is all in software development outsourcing. I've been doing that for my entire career, specifically in
wow.
India. So my son and I were on Facebook. And we see all these ads for fundraisers for the hurricane. And, every time there's a natural disaster or something, you get all these people raising money to help people, which is a great and noble cause.
Yes.
So my son says to me, my son Jake, who's on vacation with me, he said, "Hey, Dad, are we going to donate money? Because we're from Texas, and you always taught me to help people, in times of need." And I said, "Absolutely, we're going to donate money."
Yeah.
But then what he asked me next kind of inspired this whole project. He looked at me and he said, "How do you know these people actually get the money when you give it to them? Like the people that need the
yeah.
money."
Yeah. How do you know?
I felt silly because I'm thinking, here I am, I'm 44. I've had a very successful technology career and I can't answer this question. Really couldn't. And I was a significant investor in the crypto space at the time and very familiar with blockchain. And I kind of told Jake, I said, "You know what? I can't answer that question, but I'm going to come up with a solution. Because it really needs that. You need to know, if you donate money in the world we live in today with the technology we have at our disposal,
yes.
you're telling me you can't see where that money was spent? That makes no sense to me." So
no.
I went and round up a group of my friends from the technology sector. We raised money. We formed a company. We came up with a roadmap. We picked a direction. We architected a solution. We hired some of the brightest people in the space to come in and help us come up with, our solution now, which is the Vantage Network. And that allows charities or donors or anyone raising money online to be able to let their donors see exactly where that money is spent.
Yeah.
From the point of donation to the point of sale. And it's it leverages the blockchain, which is obviously the powerful way to do that. It leverages cryptocurrency. But it one of the things I love about our solution is it doesn't make people, it doesn't force people to use Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. So the barriers to entry are very low. My mom could use our solution. You know, she might go online and donate to a cause. She can use her credit card. And she can take her tracking number when she makes a donation,
yeah.
Go to our website, and she'll be able to see exactly where that money was spent, by who, and by what, just like when you track a package.
Yeah,
she doesn't have to have a digital wallet. She doesn't have to mess with any cryptocurrency, but she gets the power of an immutable ledger, the power of a blockchain, you know, to benefit her. So it's really, we see it as a win-win for charities and donors. Charities get to raise more money. Nonprofits get to raise more money. And donors get actual transparency into where that money's spent. So it gives them more confidence.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're really, man, it's been a whirlwind. We started this back in November.
Yeah.
And I went to Seoul, Korea twice. I spoke at a blockchain symposium over there in front of about 1,200 people. I went to Deconomy. I went to a bunch of other events. I've met a lot of amazing people. We've already raised over, I think, 40% of our private sale.
Wow.
We have a public sale starting August 1st. It's been great. I mean, I really feel like the marketplace needs a solution like this, and I hope other companies follow in our footsteps and continue to push for transparency in the nonprofit space, because it's crazy to me that that doesn't exist from a technological standpoint already.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, because I've worked with a lot of charities in Orange County here, and I've talked with you know, with some of the big names that have been part of the business end of the charities. And that's where my involvement has been, was with the development directors. And they get a lot of flack for some of the parties they put on, because they put on these pretty extravagant parties for the people in Orange County, because that's, I don't know. That's, it's...
You know, in it, what's crazy to me is not even just the nonprofits or the donors, but technology has enabled people to raise money very quickly for a number of causes. You know, if my daughter went on a mission trip last summer to someplace, and I had to go raise money. And that was part of the fundraising process.
Yeah.
Was to raise money for the mission trip. And the church wanted her to raise her own money. So she went and set up a GoFundMe. And it was amazing to me that in, you know, 5 minutes, you can go set up a GoFundMe, you can raise money. But again, people are doing that for all kinds of things. How do we know where that money is being spent? There's no transparency at all. Yeah. Our solution actually lays on top of any online fundraising platform. So it's truly contribution tracking. And it's not competing with GoFundMe. It's not competing with Facebook. It's not competing with the Red Cross. It's another way for them to give people that donate money online a way to see where that money's spent. And I think there's probably, you know, we've done a huge amount of research and surveys and studies. We know that there's a lot of fraud in that sector and misuse of funds.
Absolutely.
You know, especially with how easy it is to raise money online now. We just want to enable some self-regulation as well as some transparency and give donors a real choice to say, hey, is this charity, using the Vantage Network? Is it a Vantage verified organization? We just partnered with Charity Navigator, which is the largest watchdog of nonprofits and charities in the world.
Charity Navigator, I do know them. I do know Charity Navigator.
Their COO Larry Lieberman just gave us a huge endorsement. Basically stating that our technology was really needed in that space.
Yeah.
You know, we start with nonprofits and charities, but eventually next year we're going to roll into actually helping with political campaign donations and contributions. And then, you know, my end goal is to offer this same opportunity to the ICO space in 2019. Yeah. So I would like our own industry to have some self-regulation. We have so many very different governmental agencies and organizations in different regions geographically restricted by their laws. But we don't have any kind of self-regulation in place. I would love to see a tool like ours or another tool. You know, my whole goal is to see adoption of transparency within online donations. So I think we'll be able to offer that in 2019. So ICOs can actually leverage our solution to let the people who contribute to those ICOs see where that funds are being spent.
Yeah. sorry, your video went off there for a second. Anyway, so you obviously have a giving type of personality, and you've been working with charities before. And what was your first involvement with the charity world?
You know, actually, I don't have a background in that space. Like, no? I said, my background's in technology.
Yeah.
But what really was the driving force was my kids.
Oh, okay. So that's where it started, right there.
Yeah, my daughter's heavily involved in volunteer work with her church, but you know, it was really my son. It was that simple question of, Dad, how do you know these people get the money?
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't answer that. It really frustrated me as a father. It's such a simple question.
Yeah.
So that was really what drove this whole concept.
Well, that's great that your kids even worry about that. I mean, most kids, they don't care that, you know, first of all, they don't care about the person in need. And second of all, why would they even care if, you know, these people that are donating money, if the money got where it needed to go. So that's awesome that your kids have that kind of compassion for somebody else, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously as a dad, it makes me happy. For sure.
Oh yeah, man. That's great. Do you get your kids involved working with the technology? Are they interested in that part of it?
Yeah, my son is really into crypto. So
he is.
Yeah, okay. Oh yeah.
Right on.
Actually, I've enjoyed that as a parent. You know, he's 15. He obviously, my kids have been around technology my whole career.
Yeah.
They grew up knowing their dad goes to India or goes to other countries and does stuff with technology. But him and I have really bonded over the crypto space.
So, yeah.
And it's funny, we argue over altcoins or, you know, this or that. He's a huge Tron fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's a big Tron fanboy. So we're great. It's something that as a father and a son, you can kind of, you know, bond over and kind of explore. So it's so interesting. He knew I had this call today, and he's like, I want to listen to that call, Dad.
Really?
Yeah. He's very interested in crypto. My daughter on the other, you know, both my daughter, one of my daughters is pre-med and the other one is a senior in the fall. She's, she could care less. She likes the idea of me being able to help charities see how their money is spent.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as crypto is concerned, she's like, what are you, I don't even know what you're doing.
That seems to be the normal case with most women, is that they're just not interested in it at all. You know.
You know what was interesting to me was when I was in Seoul speaking at the Cinco Blockchain Symposium, I would say that 40% of the audience was female, but more interesting, 40% of the audience was probably females over the age of 40. So
really,
it was really interesting to me. Huh. The Korean market is very crypto crazy.
Yes, they
love
are.
Cryptocurrency. Yes. So Seoul is like the hotbed for that. But I was really impressed. I mean, it was like people like my mom's age in there looking, going to a blockchain conference. And, you know, it was vastly different when I was in Miami at Bitcoin North America. You know, it was all very young people.
Yeah. And mostly guys.
Much different group. Yeah, mostly guys with Lambos, right? So it was a vastly different audience. That's one thing I love about our community, the blockchain community and the crypto community, is it's so diverse.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, we take all, right?
Yeah.
You got all different types of people, cultures. It's amazing.
It is very cool, and I've also talked with a lot of women who they're very very vocal about getting other women involved in the space, women in blockchain, and you know, I've interviewed a few women that they're influencers, and they have a big presence in it, and they're really doing a big push to get more women involved with it. And I think probably the women who are involved in it are the ones that were already involved in finance to begin with. You know, they didn't just fall off the tournament truck, fall off the Bitcoin truck, and go, hey, what is this new thing? You know. I think it's
yeah. I definitely think we'll see more women and young and old, you know, getting involved in the crypto space. It's so amazing to me the evolution of things and how quickly, you know, we're growing as a community. The amount of interesting and unique products that are coming out and projects, and You know, it'll be great as we continue to grow as a community. We're still super young, even though this has been going on for quite some time. It's really, you know, in its infancy.
Oh, yeah. So, speaking of infancy, where did you get involved with the whole technology? And you're in Texas, right?
No, I'm based in Atlanta now.
Oh, you are? Okay.
My company is actually based in Grand Cayman, but my background is, you know, I got in technology in probably 99, you know, during the dot-com era.
Okay.
And then I got it specifically into outsourcing in probably 2000, you know, with the Y2K. It was a big boom for the outsourcing industry in India. So I spent the big part of my career traveling back and forth to India probably once a month.
Yeah.
I worked for a big, huge $4 billion outsourcing company, HCL Technologies. And then, you know, I've owned my own companies, and I've done that whole gamut of entrepreneurial craziness that we all go through. But I mean, I've pretty much stayed the same course, you know, the last almost 19 years, 18 and a half years in just software development, application development services, working for or owning, you know, specifically outsourced development companies. I currently have an office in Hyderabad, India now. So I've spent a lot of time in Russia, in the Middle East, Asia. I've been fortunate to get to travel all over the world for work, which
that's
is great.
Crazy.
But also the great thing about that is it exposes you to different cultures and different people, which evolves you as a human being. And that's really what I enjoy the most about it. I try to tell my kids that, that, you know, there's no one track for anyone. There's a big world we live in. There's a lot of different opinions. But my whole career, my whole team's career has been in technology. You know, my other partners are technology people. One of my partners is a full-time entrepreneurial lawyer. And then I have a really diverse board of advisors. I think you actually had one of my advisors, David Drake.
I know David.
David's everywhere.
Oh, my God. He is. Yeah. He's like the ambassador of crypto.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's
is.
Great. He's been really, really good for us. I've learned a lot from him.
Have you?
He's a great guy. I mean, he's definitely everywhere.
It's amazing how he's everywhere, but he's given so many people so much of his time.
I will say this 100 times. That guy is so organized and structured, and you get a huge amount of input from him and his team.
Yeah.
They're a well-oiled machine. They definitely know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's great.
If you're lucky enough to get him involved in your project, you're only going to benefit from that because he adds so much value just in his experience and what he knows and who he knows.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting experience. I've learned a lot about how to properly run an ICO, and I've learned a lot about how not to hire the wrong people or waste money.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, our space is blowing up. That means there's a lot of marketers out there trying to take advantage of people with funding and projects. It has been a learning experience. It does remind me a little bit of, you know, 99, 2000 when people were throwing up e-commerce sites, you know, left and right and making money.
Yeah.
But with that, you have a lot of greedy people out there trying to take advantage of that, growth and that wave.
Yeah.
So you'll see that a lot right now in our space. Everyone's trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
Some service, and you have to weed through that and really identify people that can add value and scale to your organization. And I really like to go back to the same people over and over. I like to establish long-term relationships instead of one-off deals. So, you know, we've been burned a few times and learned a few things.
I bet.
You know, definitely. So our space is ever-changing. Look, it's not the same. We're not in the same market we were in November.
No.
We're not in the same market we were in 3 months ago.
No.
In 6 months from now, we won't be in the same market we're in today. But you have to be willing to, you know, improvise, adapt, and overcome, as they used to say in the service.
Yes.
So you have to continue to move forward and do things.
Yeah, and I've noticed that even, you know, doing my my show here, where in the beginning people were very hesitant to get onto it, but then there were the other people that were begging to be on it, and then once I started doing more relevant people, and I wasn't trying to do what coin to buy, what's the top 5 coins for this week. I didn't want to get any involved into that stuff, and I wanted to do is actually talk with people like you who are actually in the space. They're doing something that makes a difference and that can talk about themselves and talk about their company, but more of a humanizing you as a person and getting people to feel comfortable with you and realizing that it's not just a bunch of bots behind you, but it's actually somebody who cared enough to start this, you know?
Yeah, it's a little frustrating because I have seen that as our community grows and our, you know, our backers and social media grows, they don't realize that you're a real person with a real idea that, you know, I'm not just trying to make a buck. I'm actually trying to build a platform, in my opinion, that will solve a needed problem.
Yes.
So there's, you know, our space is riddled with, you know, overnight, you know, people just trying to make money. And there's a lot of bad projects out there. There's so many ICOs coming out every week. I feel like I've been fortunate because our project is being, you know, heard. We are making a voice, you know, but there's a lot of really good projects out there that nobody knows about that they're not going to hear about because of the, you know, the snake oil salesmen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They're out there, you know, taking up all the noise. And it is hard as hell to run an ICO. I remember being in Korea and the guy that ran MedChain, I think it was, had already done his ICO, had a successful raise. And he sat up on the stage and he's like, don't let anyone tell you this is easy because it's not. And I say that every day of the week. It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. This is actually, if you want easy, go in another industry. This is not easy. So, but it's fun. And
yeah.
It's great to be involved in something that I think, not just our project, but the space, that is going to have a significant cultural impact on technology and the world as in whole, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years. Blockchain is amazing. And what's happening in cryptocurrency with decentralization is so powerful. It's going to have a ripple effect across many, many, many sectors of what we know and do every day.
Yeah.
So I love that. That's why I embrace it. I love that my 15-year-old son knows how to trade crypto and, you know, knows how to track coins. I didn't
want
to do that when I was 15.
No.
You know, that's I didn't even understand any of that. And he has real world skills now. He's learning how to manage money and manage finances.
That's amazing.
And that is powerful because he got into that because he loves crypto and all his friends love crypto and they love altcoins. And that's awesome. I love being part of that.
What's his name?
Jacob.
Jacob. We'll give a shout out to Jacob. Jacob and his crew.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate that. Wow, that's awesome, man. So what, I know you're hanging out in Florida with the kids and stuff, and I'm sure you're working in your mind every second you're there.
I spend all day on the phone basically, but I am enjoying the sun.
Yeah.
You know, we get back from Florida, our ICO public sale launches August 1st, so I'll be doing a road show in July.
Yeah.
I'll be going back to Asia, I'll be going to Seoul, I'll be going to Singapore, Hong Kong.
Oh my gosh.
Then I'm sure I'll make some stops maybe, you know, in Europe as well.
Yeah.
And then August, when we launch our public sale August 1st, you know, we have a hard cap of 35,000 Ethereum, and I feel pretty confident we're gonna fully subscribe that. You know, every day we get it's been great, all the positive feedback that we've received from the community and and the space in general. So
yeah,
a lot of planes, a lot of trips over the next 2 or 3 months, but a lot of amazing things to come for sure.
Yeah, we're looking at the site right now. We have 35 days. Public token sale begins August 1st, and I suppose this is just like everything else that unless you're an accredited investor in the United States, you can't.
We don't actually accept any investment from the U.S.
None at all.
We are KYC U.S. restricted, so we do not accept any investment from the U.S. You know, U.S. regulation is not it's not crypto ICO friendly at this time.
No, not at all.
It's ridiculous. You know, we've been very, very, very clear from day one that, you know, we are focused on really, I would say the largest investment sector right now for us has been Asia.
Yeah.
And Europe, also Australia. But we do no advertising really in the U.S. We don't solicit or take any investment from the U.S. I think at some point the U.S. will evolve to have some ICO regulations that make sense.
Oh my God.
But right now it's a gray area. And there really, you know, there is no utility token under SEC law. Really, there just isn't.
No.
You know, everything's a security. So you have to be very careful in this space how you handle that. So, you know, we've made it straight path to, you know, Europe and Asia. And that's been great. I mean, they're I would say the Asian market, you know, blockchain and cryptocurrency is pretty mainstream there.
Yeah.
You know, in the U.S., it's still not mainstream.
No, it's amazing. You know, we're supposed to be on the cutting edge of technology, and I think they're really just cutting their own throats by not embracing this and letting it just flourish the way that it could grow and help.
We'll get there. I mean, just like with crowdfunding, we'll get regulations in place that really work. It'll get there. We're just in the infancy, and honestly, there's been so many bad projects over the last 2 years that have taken advantage of institutional and retail investors that we need regulation in this space.
Absolutely, yeah.
To protect people, to protect people like my mom or somebody's aunt or daughter or whatever, friend or family, you know, from getting taken advantage of by some ridiculous, you know, ad saying that they're going to give 110% return on their investment. You know, that's craziness.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what we're about. So, yeah, but I have a huge amount of travel over the next 60 to 90 days, and then then we'll be, heads down trying to hit all of our timelines for our roadmap.
Yeah.
And managing our community, which is growing, every day we're adding, hundreds, if not thousands of people to our community. So It's great. It's exciting, man. Okay. It really is.
Well, I would like for the Wonder Dog to get involved with you guys, because I have a big heart for the charity world, and I always like to get involved with anything charity. So we want to be behind you. And,
yeah, we'd love that.
Yeah, and are you going to hopefully get your son involved in this when he becomes of age where he can actually start working with you and traveling?
Absolutely. Yeah, I actually owe him a trip to Tokyo. So he's for sure going to get to go.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, dude, I really enjoyed the talk here, and I know that I don't want to take up much more of your time because I know what's like when you're out on vacation with your kids and you know you're still working in your head and you got to take these silly phone calls and stuff like this. So
I appreciate the time to be able to be on your podcast and speak to your community and your base. So it's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. So good having you on the show, and man, go enjoy the rest of your day with your kids, man.
Thanks, man.
I gotta get those days back, brother. All right.
All right.
All right. Good talk, man.